First Peter chapter 1, we'll see if there's any power. Matter of fact, I got the blood right up here. Y'all don't know it yet, but you're going to find out here in a little bit. Amen. Got the power. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and we've enjoyed fellowship, Lord, already with one another, and Lord, enjoyed fellowship with you. Lord, we thank you for your spirit here today. We prayed, Lord, already that you would just pour your spirit out on us, on this service, Lord. Fill each one of us that are believers here today with your spirit, Lord, that we'll know that we've met with you today. I pray for those ones that may be here today that's lost and not sure about their salvation. We, as always, Lord, we always pray, Lord, that your word would go forth effectively, Lord, somebody be saved. And I pray for those of us that are saved, we'll be encouraged, Lord. I know the devil tries to beat us down, Lord, and get us discouraged, Lord, but there's a lot of things to be thankful for. Help us to see the glass is half full and not half empty. And, Lord, so I'll put that into your hands today. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning, I was able to run back there. Eileen didn't have my notes, but while the boys there were singing Power in the Blood, that we got the notes on there. So the title of the message, Redeemed. We see that word there in our text this morning in verse 18. For as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. That word redeems means loosed or being free from bondage. You know, bondage, of course, we understand sin as being a bondage. I mean, sin is a weight. Brother, I mean, I'll tell you what, living a sinful life is a hard life. It's a hard, you know, it's a hard life. And it's a binding thing. And we have a bondage of sin. And then here's the killer thing is that sin nature. Buddy, I mean, that's the thing that you can't get away from. You know, you can clean your old act up just a little bit every now and then and not commit, you know, there's certain things. Maybe you'll clean up yourself just a little bit along the way. But I tell you, that's sin nature. You just can't do a thing about it. So this word redeemed has the thought of being loosed or free from that bondage of not only the sin, but from the sin nature. You know, when we're saved, there's two things that happen when you're saved. Now, number one is that we have forgiveness of sin that we've already committed. We have a forgiveness of that past, present, and future as well, and we understand that. But then also that we're saved from, this is what we're saved from. Not only, a lot of times we think of saved, we're saved from the wrath to come as far as hell goes, punishment in hell, but we are saved from what we are. And that is, you know, that's the deal right there. Being saved from what we are. What are we? We're sinners. We're born, I mean, saved from ourselves, brother. I mean, when you look in the mirror every day, you're looking at your biggest obstacle that you're going to face all day long, all week long. It's looking at yourself. And we look at ourselves, and ourself is the problem. And so we're saved from that. That sin nature is changed. Not only because by salvation, and then we know the Lord gave us His Holy Spirit. And boy, I mean, there's the, you know, we have the Holy Spirit of God, and that takes care of the sin nature. Transformed. If there's power in the blood, it's a transforming power that we sang about. That power to transform our life. And I'm going to tell you what, that's got to be a reality. Listen, the world needs to see it. Listen, the church needs to see it. You need to see it. You better see it in your own self. If you can't see it in your own self that you've been transformed, then the problem is probably salvation. You need to get that matter settled today. And so we are saved also from the consequences there. But note what Peter says about that. He says, we, that means believers, are redeemed or loose from your vain conversation. That's what it says right there, your vain conversation. Those two words translated for us today would be this way. Vain is foolish, and conversation means, usually in the Bible, as a matter of fact, conversation is used this way, your manner of life, your lifestyle, how you live. That's what that, it's not speaking about a verbal conversation. Although, let me say this, your manner of life, your lifestyle will come out in your verbal conversation as well. Huh? And listen, I'm going to tell you what, if it's ungodliness coming out of your mouth, there's a problem is there's not a transformation that's taken place in your life. That's what the problem is. I mean, the Bible says that bitter water and sweet doesn't come out of the same well. Huh? You don't get sweet water and salty water out of the same spring. I mean, it's only one, you know, one way or the other. So it comes out of the mouth, but it's talking mainly about the manner of life. A foolish way of living, it would be a good way of putting it. Saved, and so this is what he said, that we are saved from a foolish way of life, which God goes on to say in other places that a foolish way of life is an empty way of life. And that's really a lot of what I want to talk to you about today, about this foolish way of life, that what we are saved from. We see that the foolish way. What is the foolish way? This vain conversation, the foolish way, the foolish life. It means morally foolish, or can be also, like as I said, empty. And, you know, when we think about it, the one, how is the life that Peter's speaking about, the one that we were redeemed from foolishness, how is that? How do we have that life? Why is the life, I'm saying instead of how, let me say it this way, why is that life that we've been redeemed from? Why did we have a foolish life before salvation? And why do we have, if God's not first in our life, if God's not in our life and we're living, why do people live a foolish life today? I'm going to talk to you about that in the first point. That's what I want to talk to you about, the foolish way. You know, no thought, number one, this is one of the ways that we talk about why is a life foolish, according to the scriptures, is it's foolish because we and times past and people do live their life today with no thought of God. There's no thought of God. I was thinking about it this morning. We were coming to church. Man, it's Sunday morning. I remember the days when I grew up. I've shared this with you before. When there wasn't nothing open on Sunday. I remember you couldn't buy gas. I remember when there was only one gas station. I grew up in Virginia Beach and all of Virginia Beach when there was this one gas station open on Sunday. Now look, everything. So I was watching this morning. We came down the bottom of our hill. You know where we live up there? Got down the bottom of the hill, and there's two guys in a pickup truck going by, and they pull into Thrasher's Machinery over there. I don't know that it's open, but they were pulling in there. There they were. Well, they didn't look like they had any thoughts of God this morning. Didn't look like they were planning on going to church. I went into the dollar store, and when I got in there, there was a young couple in shorts and T-shirt. Looked like they were going out. They were going to hit the river. They were going to have some fun. I don't know that they had any thoughts for God in their life. I saw people going up and down the highway all over the place. It doesn't look like that they had any thoughts of God in their life. And you think about it, if you don't have any thoughts for God, now vacations aside and those type things, but if you don't have thoughts for God in your life, in your head, in your mind, then that is a foolish life. And I'm going to show you why. Romans 1:28 says this, and speaking about people who hold the truth in unrighteousness, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, mind, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are convenient. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 both say, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I know people that I grew up, I know people that I knew that I grew up with that just lived their life. I know people that believe that there is a God, but they live their life like they have no regard for God. They live their life like there is no God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. I know people like that. And so the sinner's way is foolish because they fail to give God his proper place in their life. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have God, and let me tell you what God's proper place is, his first place. And if you don't have God in the first place, you are living a foolish life. You know, I got the message I want to preach tonight, I swiped a little something out of there to use now. So, you know, sometimes you have to hear it more than once to sink in anyway, right? You won't remember it by the time we get tonight. But, you know, when Saul... we were looking at David last week, and I'm going to look at David tonight, but when David went up to see the battle, and Saul was up there with the Israelite army when they were facing Goliath, y'all know that story very well, right? And they were all standing around, and they weren't doing anything. And here was Saul, the leader of God's people, supposed to be the leader of God's people, and he's walking back and forth fretting. He's worried because Goliath is pacing around out there in the valley. And you know why he was worried about it? And you know why when David came up, David said, what are y'all doing? I'm just going to paraphrase it. What are y'all doing? He goes, that guy out there, that uncircumcised Philistine, is cursing our God. What are y'all doing? But look how big he is. And they were all worried about everything. You know why it was like that? Because Saul had no thought for God about the whole situation. He didn't think about God. He didn't see God in it. He didn't know God was going to be around to do anything. And when David got up there, all he saw was God. He said, man, I don't care how big he is. I got God on my side. He went out there with a sling and boom, man, knocked him out, took him out. And so what it is, there's people, and here was Saul, the leader of God's people, for crying out loud, that had no thought for God in his mind. And so the foolish life, it ends up this way because there's no thought of God. And so when we think about what we have in our minds, human philosophy, wisdom, attitudes, human standards, human morals even, anything that's adopted that doesn't give God his proper place is a foolish way. It's an empty way. And so there's, man, listen, you know, the whole world, that we look at the philosophy of the world living today, and listen, this world is living a foolish life for the most part. We think about people that defile themselves. Man, we all probably been there at one time in our life, man, defiling herself with dope. Man, the dope heads out there, man, putting stuff in their veins, putting stuff in their lungs, taking all kind of drugs and dope and all that. How foolish, right? Foolish, man. I mean, just to take, hey, let me get a big old thing. Let me get a big old cigar, nothing but an old weed, out of something, and I'm going to just suck all the smoke in I can down in my lungs. And boy, whoopee, I'm having fun, man. I'm telling you what, how foolish can you get? And not to mention all the other things that you can put in your body so we can see the foolish lifestyle. Boy, I'm going to go out tonight, and I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to drink it up like crazy because tomorrow. And what do you say? Boy, I'm going to be feeling bad in the morning. I'm going to be feeling bad in the morning. Give me another drink. What a fool bat, man. I mean, did you do that? Yeah. Woke up with a head, man. Oh, brother. And I was one of them people. I was going to work no matter what. It didn't matter. And I went to work feeling real bad plenty of times, man. Foolish. How stupid was that life? How stupid is that? Not only was I was hurting myself at the time, but you keep on living that life, you're going to hurt yourself in the long run. I mean, you know, your liver's going to fall out. Your lungs are going to fall out. All those things that could happen to you along the way. So, we think about that, just people defiling themselves. You know, and listen, here's another thing. You don't have to be a full-blown sinner to live a foolish life. Listen, there's a lot of folks out there, I'm going to tell you what, they're good neighbors. They're good. They are kind, they're friendly, they're thoughtful, they're helpful. I'm going to tell you, they'll give you the shirt off their back, anything you need, they'll help you out. But I'm going to tell you what, they are living without any thought for God. And the only way you can describe, it's a godless life. It may not be a moral life, but it's a godless life. You can live a life like that. There's a lot of people. I tell you, man, one of my favorite relatives in all my time was my Uncle Howard. Aunt Donna, too, my aunt and uncle. They were my great aunt and uncle. And they had a farm down in Smith County, actually, is where the farm was. And man, when I think of them, I have nothing but happy thoughts, all except for one thought. When I think about my Uncle Howard particularly, man, he was a good guy. I mean, I never heard him use a bad word. He never cursed, to my knowledge. I mean, just he didn't talk bad about anybody. He didn't, he would help you with anything you needed. He was a humble guy. He never assumed upon anything. Clean living. Quiet. He was a farm. He was a miner. He was a coal miner. And he had a farm. So he did those two things. And my uncle, I remember all my life, you know, I was a kid, man. And I mean, I was, you know, of course, I wasn't saved. We went to church, you know, like a lot, most people in my generation probably did. But Uncle Howard, on Sunday, this always bugged me, man, because I grew up in Virginia Beach, and now I was up on this farm, man. We had cows, cow manure, and all that stuff. You know, kids just, you know, you like all that. And on Sunday, he wouldn't do any work on Sunday. He even, you know, usually he had coveralls on and, farm shirt, long sleeve shirt, old straw hat. But on Sunday, he wore regular blue jeans with his dress shoes and a nicer shirt every Sunday. Would not work on Sunday. Mm-mm. Nope, wouldn't do it. And he would pepper things like, if you talked about stuff you're going to do in the future, he would say, like, if we live, I'll never forget it. Well, you know, we're going to do such a, if we live, If we live, so he knew about death, right? Like everybody else. But I never saw him read a Bible. I never heard him pray. I never knew him to go to church. None of that. And his daughter, they had one daughter, Jean, and she was saved. Her and her family. Matter of fact, their daughter, I got hooked up with her on Facebook because of Facebook, and she's living down in South Carolina, I think. And she's Christian, and I see her on there and all that. Shared some pictures and things. But their daughter, she was saved. And she tried to talk to her daddy about salvation. When Uncle Howard got sick and he got in the hospital, she went down there to see him, and he just didn't want to hear it. He wasn't an atheist. He was not an atheist. He knew there was a God. But he just didn't want to talk about it. And that's the only thought I have of him that doesn't make me smile. That he was such a good guy. Just a good guy. And worked hard all his life. Saved his money. He bought his farm with cash money. Granted, it was like $30,000, but back then it was a lot of, he saved up. He didn't want to borrow no money. He saved all his money. He never had a TV set of his own until he was probably 70. Never had a telephone in the house. He bought another house and rented it out, and they had a phone. And if he had to call his daughter down in Florida for an emergency, he had to go down and borrow his renter's phone to make a phone call. Got some of those things later in life. That's how. Talking about frugal, man, not living a wild life. but worked hard all his life. Think about it, man. People are out there working, man. They're getting their money, man. They're getting to retirement. Now they get the retirement age, and they got the vacation place and all that. And guess what? They're going to die. And then what? Now what? It's foolish. It's foolish knowing that there's a God and not putting God first in your life. It's a foolish way. It's a godless way. Another reason that manner of life is foolish because there's no thoughts of a final reckoning. No thoughts. Living on the assumption, assuming that there's not a judgment day. But Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." According to their works. I'm going to tell you what, ain't nobody standing at the great white throne that was saved. Everybody standing there was lost, and their life was judged according to their works. See, here's the thing. You can live any way you want. You can live your life just as you please. God's given you a choice. You got the ability to do it. Listen, you can go out the door and never come back in here again. Never go to any church again. You can quit reading your Bible. You can quit praying. You can do it if you want to. But you're going to pay up one day. There's a payday someday. R.G. Lee preached a message on that, but I don't know if it was payday in that regard. Payday one day, but you're going to pay for it one day. Hey, you can dope yourself up all you want to, but you're going to pay for it one day. Huh, you want to get out there and get that meth pipe and smoke all that stuff? You're going to pay before you die. Your teeth going to fall out. Your hair going to fall out. You're going to look like you're 108 years old when you're 35. You can do it. You can do all those things. You can do what you want to do. You're going to have to pay one day. There's that broad way and narrow way you spoke about already. There's a broad way, a reckoning day. And the books are going to be open, and you're going to stand before the righteous judge. You know what? If you study all that out, and I have, you know what? There's not going to be any arguing there. Huh? We're studying that on Wednesday night. You know why? The law will shut you up. Huh? When the law is read, and you know in your heart where you stand, because you haven't trusted Jesus, right? And it'll be here sooner than you think. I was telling Sherry the other day, I remember when I was 18, graduated, I had a job lined up, David, Virginia Tractor. And I went to work for him at Norfolk. But I knew that I was moving. And I remember my first day at work there, too, had a terrible day. But an old hydraulic line slipped down. I had it propped up on something. I was underneath a forklift, and the thing slipped down, and all the hydraulic oil ran in my hair. Tried to wash my hair with that old gritty soap that they have, you know, that the hand soap's got the grit in it. Had to wash my hair with that. It worked so good. Anyway, but I remember when I finally moved up to Northern Virginia, and that's where they had a shop up there, and they hired me to go there, and I went up there. And I was telling Sherry the other day, I remember so distinctly, one day we went out, we're going to go out on a piece of equipment, out on a farm somewhere. And we pulled in there, a guy named John Weatherly, he was a shop foreman, he was driving, he pulled in, and we went into 7-Eleven, man, I was just out of high school, got my coffee and my honey bun. You know, wasn't worried about my diet back then. And I remember, and I had this thought back then. I said, you know what, this is my first day, really, I'm on my career. Thought I was going to work forever, Virginia Tractor, Caterpillars. I'm on my career, it's my first day. And I said to myself, I said, one day I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember this day. My first day, really, man, I'm out in the working world. And I do remember it. And I'm going to tell you something. It seems like yesterday. I'm going to be 67 on Thursday. I was 18 then. And I can remember the details. I can remember it like it's yesterday. Time goes by just like that, man. I mean, it's going to be, and listen, if you live your life apart from God, one day you're going to say, man, what a fool did I live my life without God in the rightful place in my life. No thought as well, they have no thought for the invisible world. The sinner's foolish because he assumes that all we have is the flesh. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe this, that they just believe like, I don't know if they use the term saved, but if you're saved, and then you're going to have, only 144,000 of them are going to go to heaven, and the rest are going to live on earth, you know, I mean, it's all messed up. But anyway, if you don't get saved, they believe that you just annihilate it. You just cease to exist. And I remember some came to my house one time when I was like 18, when I first moved away, I was living in Manassas. And I remember being in Nashville and a couple of ladies come to the door and they said, well, you know, man, listen, if you don't get saved, man, you're just going to cease to exist. And I said, so what? I mean, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what I know now. I said, so what? What's the big deal about that? I'll just go out here and live like a maniac, man, wild man, huh? I'll do whatever I want, steal, lie, cheat, you know, do whatever I want. And if at the end of it, I'm just going to end up and cease to exist, and so what? You won't know it, right? So what? You just, that's what some people believe. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that are living like they believe that too. There's people in churches, they claiming to be saved, and they live their life like nothing's going to happen. Like there's no afterlife, that there's no spirit, no soul, that we're a body, a soul, and a spirit. We're not just flesh. And this is why I give you this test, see? I think I've done this before. In your mind, how old are you? There's no age. In our mind, we're a lot younger than we are on the outside, right? I mean, no joking aside, right? It don't matter. I don't care if you get, you always think, oh, I'll think differently when I get older. Maybe not. I mean, we're just at a certain age. It's a semi-mature state depending on your personality. We're not, my soul and spirit, it's eternal. It doesn't have an age. That's it. That's how we know. We can know that. The second thing is, how do we begin to live the foolish way? How do we begin it at the very beginning? Well, see, Peter talked about it. Look what he said in verse 18. For as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. You know, a lot of what we do is passed down from our parents, from what we saw. They got stats on everything nowadays. I didn't look them all up. It's just too much time to spend. But, you know, like if both parents are smokers, there's a pretty good chance your children will do it too. If both parents are drinkers, there's a good chance that they'll, you know, I don't know what the odds are, but they got to figure it out, you know. Not chiseled in stone, but. So, whatever the habit may be. You know what? I gave you some stats just a few weeks ago on if both parents go to church, if both parents go to Sunday school, what the odds are that the kids when they grow up and you know what? And listen, I mean, it's just not going to church. I'm going to tell you what, if it's a reality, if your Christianity is not a reality in your home, I'm going to tell you what, it's not going to make a difference Huh? It's going to make a difference, but it's going to be in the negative effect. Because if they don't see Christianity real to you, then there's a good chance your kids are not going to believe it's real. And they're not going to accept it that way. Huh? Somebody, we know people talk about they want to dedicate their children or a baby. They want to dedicate their baby. I'm going to tell you what, it's a waste of time if you're not dedicated. Because they got to see it. They got to see that. And so, you know what? The things that we receive, the habits, good or bad, whatever they are, neglecting God habits, how you were raised, good or bad. You know, this child abuse chain, when they say that a lot of people that are child abusers were abused when they were children, it just keeps going on and on and on. The chain, it can be broken. Listen, it's not hopeless, but that's what happens. How you were raised, how you treated your wife, your son. If you're a man, your son is going to learn how to treat his wife by watching you. If you're a mother, your daughter is going to learn how to treat her husband by watching you and how to treat her children by watching you. And it all goes on and on and on. And there's generations of things that are messed up. Well, my way of getting to the kids is scream at them at the top of my lungs and tell them like a poly parrot 599 times, don't, or quit, and never do nothing to it. And then they do it, and nothing ever gets done. We're living in a whole world that kids were raised that way. Boy, you'd like to just... But anyway, I don't know which one to spank, the parents or the kids, you know, both. But... it happens. And so generations, I've seen in around here too, I don't care where you go, anywhere, generations of families that grew up and were raised without God in their life. You can go back to parents. They had nothing. My buddy Donald and I grew up, we had a neighborhood. We lived in a neighborhood, a bunch of guys. I shared it with you. And my buddy Donald was a pastor too. He's not pastoring right now, but he's a Christian. And we were talking about this among ourselves. We look back. When we were kids, my parents weren't real faithful to church, but we belonged to a church and we went, and we went at different phases. You know, we went through phases, and probably qualified to be Baptist, but we were Methodist. But, we went through phases with it. And Donald's parents, they went to church. We were raised up going to church. But our one other friend, two other friends that we had on our street, we were all close friends. They never went, never. Well, guess what? When Donald turned out to be a preacher, and I turned out to be a preacher. I'm not saying it's going to happen to everybody, but the other two boys, man, you couldn't talk to them. You can't talk to them. One of them died of cancer already, and Donald tried to talk. Couldn't talk to Paul about God. Paul, you know him, Kyle. And Bo, man, no, he gets mad. He'll get mad. Doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He said he believes there's a God, but he just doesn't want to talk about that. See what happened? And I told Donald, I said, look at our backgrounds are so different. We went to church, man. We knew there was a God. We heard worship. We heard some singing. We participated in some stuff, and they didn't. Man, it has an impact, man, on your kids and your grandchildren, and there's generation after generation. You can go back to the parents didn't go to church. The grandparents didn't go to church. The great-grandparents, you can look, the whole families, and they're out, and they're living their life generation after generation after generation and don't have nothing to do with God. Man, it's affecting them. Man, that's a foolish way of life. Man, a foolish way to live their life. So there's a source right there. One of the sources is the tradition passed down from our parents. And the second source is just our fallen nature itself. Just our fallen nature. What comes naturally? You know that you don't, who taught you to sin? Somebody say, okay, well, you know, Randy, we're going to have a little class on lying. Come on up here. We got to teach you how to lie. Huh? Did they ever have a class on that? Huh? It was like falling off a log, wasn't it? Huh? We're going to have a little class on how to steal. Probably would have helped if you got one on how to steal better. But you wouldn't have got caught, right? Well, you don't teach anybody that. You have to teach a child to be good. They're going to be evil naturally. They're going to be wicked naturally. How many of you, man, your parents, where you at? Did you brush your teeth? Huh? So many adults we got to talk to about that. Did you brush your teeth? Huh? I remember my grandmother, my great-grandmother, I was away from home, man, I was running around. You know, kid, we don't think about that stuff. We never take a bath. If they didn't say, get in there and take a bath. Oh, man, you know, like waters are now, you know, I mean, I take two showers a day. But back then, man, no, you didn't have to do it. And my great-grandmother said, let me see, your teeth are yellow. She said, get in here. And she made me take baking soda and put it on my toothbrush. It does a good job. And I'll tell you what, it tastes nasty, man. I mean, try it. You'll like it. I buy the baking soda toothpaste now, though, because I kind of got addicted to it. But no, just kidding. But, I mean, you got to teach the kids, right? You don't have to teach a kid to be evil. They do it on their own, see? So it's like whatever comes naturally. If you leave a child alone, he will not be good. We see the evidence of that in society today, right? We see that. We're living in a society that has largely failed to teach, listen, what right according to the Word of God. The world is teaching what's right according to the world's standards, which is subjective. I'm not going to tell you, but I saw a sight, a mother with a child at the flea market yesterday, and if you were down there, you might have seen it too. Couldn't believe it. I ain't going to talk about it. What they thought was okay with their child and what was right according to society's rules. We're seeing that in the world right now. They have a concept of right and wrong, but it's not according to the Word of God. So there's generations that have lived their life foolishly apart from God. We inherited a sin nature, not a righteous nature. That's our problem. So the last point, deliverance from the foolish way. Verse 19 of our text today said, we were redeemed, up in verse 18, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Not money. Listen, man trusted everything to save himself. Man, I'm telling you what, man has tried every kind of sacrifice under the sun. Man has decided, well, I'm going to deny myself. There's the people that think that, you know, I'm just going to not have no pleasure, that pleasure of any kind was a sin. I'm just going to quit doing all that. I'm going to try to be good, as good as I can. I'm going to try to get there that way, or I'm going to sacrifice all kind of things to have eternal life, or even to have my life change whatsoever. You know, but it didn't work. I was looking at when the Apostle Paul was on the ship when he was a prisoner and the storm came up. And boy, the crew, what did they do to save themselves? They threw all the cargo that was worth money, they threw it over the side. They took the tackling of the ship, by the way, which you kind of got to have that if you're going to float and do it, you know, go the right direction. They threw the tackling over, they threw everything over the side of the ship trying to save themselves. If it wouldn't have been for God come along about that time and told Paul, an angel told him, said, now everybody's going to die. They would have died. So, but we'll do the same thing. We'll throw, when it comes to our life, we'll throw everything overboard to save our life, but it won't work that way. But the Bible tells us that God sent his son, and he came as a man, and that he shed his blood and paid the price for our sin. Not only paid the price for our sin, but he paid the price for what we are. Look here, right here at this. This is a representative, by the way. I'll set this up here. That's a gallon and a half, roughly. The average body, 1.2 to 1.5, if you want to get technical. That's how much blood that we have in our body. That much right there. And in comparison to all the blood that's been shed, if we go to the Old Testament, millions of animals were slain over those years. They killed 10,000 just at the dedication of the temple. You imagine how much blood that was. It wasn't enough. All the blood shed in all the world, the history of the wars and all the crimes that have been committed, it's not in the quantity, it's in the quality. That blood, that amount of blood from Jesus was sufficient to pay the debt, to pay it all off. That's all it took. And I say that's all, but that was a big price. That was a big price. We were singing our choir song. I started getting choked up about that power and that blood. Boy, the power of the cross. Oh, man. If that doesn't work, I remember old John Long, he was an evangelist. When he preached, he was like this. If you watch the crowd, it looked like they were watching a tennis match. The heads were going like if you were in the back. And John Long, he said one time, the guy asked him, he said, what would you do if you woke up one day and you found out you weren't saved? He said, I'd never get saved. He said, what do you mean? He said, because I trusted Jesus with all my heart and soul. I've trusted in his shed blood. I've trusted in his work on the cross. And if it didn't work the first time, it's not going to work the second time. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else we can do. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Delivered from the foolish way. Man, how foolish. How many of us live foolish lives? How long we live foolish lives? I was 32 or 3. I was almost 33 when I got saved. All them years. Living a foolish life. Thank God I didn't die. Thank God, God, he kept me alive all this time. There was opportunities, trust me, to die along the way. Let me ask you this question right here. Have you been redeemed? Evidenced by what God has done in your life. I'm not looking for perfection, but I'm going to tell you something. What place does God have in your life? If he's not in first place, he's out of place. And that's a foolish way to live too. Huh? You can live foolishly as a Christian. Sure you can. By not putting God in the first place. Listen, if he's not in first place, I'm going to tell you, by the word of God, I'm not calling you names. If God doesn't have first place in your life, you're a fool. That's what the word of God says. Amen. Let's all.